You're not getting the boing?
No.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it is a geeky boners episode. We have some sound effects that don't work, and we talk about the stuff that's got us super excited to be geeks at this point in time.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hey, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Boner alert.
And Molly.
That's me.
It's you. That's my dick. Oh, shit. That sound means it's time for another Geeky Boners episode. For anyone that might be a first-time listener or maybe hasn't heard of Geeky Boners episode, it's the periodic episode where we chime in with the nerdy or geeky thing that's really got us turgid.
Cranked.
I'm just going to let you know. Cranked. I'm going to let you know because yoked. I'm recording from my side that the sound you just described, Nick, did not happen. So.
Oh, no.
It's going to be great. There's going to be like this.
The
boing didn't go through. There's going to be like that sound you heard. And they're going to be like, what's wrong? Technical difficulties. Yeah.
I don't understand how that came to happen.
Yeah. I no idea.
Well, as you heard Molly herself.
Mm-hmm.
That's anyway. The wrong sound effect, Molly.
Wrong one.
What a fucking comedy of errors. Hey, it's a atheist geek comedy podcast. So let's talk about the nerdy stuff that has us excited that isn't sound files.
It's not sound files.
Sound effects is not it.
Sound files.
Yeah.
Not tonight. Tim, what's your boner?
You know, I had a lot of things I was going to think about, but I want to talk about the Arizona Renaissance Festival, because me and my band, The Dregs, you may have heard of us. We've talked about us on the podcast before. I know, we're awful, but we were at the Arizona Renaissance Festival just this last weekend. We were down there to guest perform for one weekend, and I have worked out at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival for almost 40 years. And the Arizona Renaissance Festival, I worked there once in 1996 and again this year. And I think it is the weirdest thing in the world when you've worked at a festival as dysfunctional as Minnesota is to go to a Renaissance festival that is not. And to look around you and go, this all works and I do not understand. And let's just start with the fact that the stage that we were on was a converted crafter's booth that they made into a music stage because they thought, I bet this booth would work really well as a music stage because it's a nice open space where the sound will bounce off the walls and we can put the musicians at one end of the stage and their voices will be going out into the lane. It'll help draw an audience in to the space so that they will have more people at the end of their show than the beginning. And that's what happened. We would sing songs and people in the lane would be walking by and go, hey, I hear something that sounds good. I'd like to maybe go in and watch it for a little bit. It was refreshing to work at a show that said, let's try and figure out what will work for musicians and then do that. They had other things like, I don't know if this would surprise the two of you, but they had good food at reasonable prices. They had a Mediterranean booth with something called falafel poppers, which was falafel stuffed with feta cheese. And they were delicious and they were $4.
Oh, wow. That's super cheap.
The only problem with the food was it was so good, the lines to get to it were enormous.
Sure.
So they have rules that the craft shops have to maintain their booths, so all the booths look good as new and well-painted and well-maintained, and so does every part of the festival. Every stage or venue that the festival controls looks like it was built last week.
Wow.
And I know they were not, because some of them are the same stages that were there when I was there 28. It was 28 years ago. They have really, really good, strong acts all through the festival. They advertise the shit out of those acts. They push the acts to get audiences to come and watch them. It just, you know, it is what it is. And we've talked about the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, and it is what it is. And I work out there because our band is successful and I make money. But it is amazing to go to another place that is effectively the same thing, run exceptionally well, and think about, and it's frustrating to go, wow, how much money could we be making?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And yeah. how much money could the owner of the festival be making?
Mm-hmm.
If indeed they put the time and effort into the product that the Arizona Renaissance Festival had put into it. It was, I've talked for years, having been there 28 years ago, what a good show Arizona was. And,
that's the last time you were there 28 years ago?
Yeah, in 1996. So,
wow, I didn't realize you hadn't been out to Arizona in that long.
No, I haven't been able to get back. So, as a performer, I went back. So 1997, I returned. I was not working at the festival anymore. I returned as a visitor mm-hmm. for one weekend, not the same thing. So this year I was back as a performer.
Yeah.
And, it's just a really great show. And it's kind of remarkable, because you'll talk to people who are working out there and they'll be like, oh yeah. And we got great feedback on our band. The people who worked out there thought we were fucking amazing. And that was really nice to hear. But what would happen is they'd be like, oh yeah, where are you from? And we'd say, oh yeah, we're from Minnesota. And they'd say, oh, because everybody knows, everybody knows. Mm-hmm. That Minnesota is where, Peterson shows, the owner of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, owns other Renaissance festivals, and any festival he owns basically gets the same response.
Oof.
that our Minnesota show does. And that's a damn shame. And you know, I can hope that something will happen and that Minnesota will see someone who gives a shit take over and really make our place shine. But I guess right now I'm just hoping that we get invited to go back for a weekend next year, because it was awfully energizing to be there. It was great.
Great. That's awesome.
Oh. Fantastic.
So go to the Arizona Renaissance Festival, folks, if you're listening.
How long does it run?
It runs, I think it's 7 weekends. It's either 7 or 8. It runs February and March in Arizona. Hmm. So I think it might run every weekend in February and every weekend in March.
Does the owner of that festival own any other festivals, or is that the only?
He does. He owns the Carolina Renaissance Festival, which from everything I've heard is as well run.
Fantastic. So lucky ducks. Hey, yeah. If you're listening, guy who owns those festivals, put a hit out on Jim Peterson.
Yeah.
Sweet talk his kids into selling.
Well, I don't think he's listening. But I will say, the guy who owns those festivals was an entertainment director at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival back in the 70s, and is from Minnesota, and actually has a home here and still comes back to Minnesota.
Weird.
Yeah. And he would love to run our festival.
Bring it. Put Eric Thompson out of the job.
There's only one thing standing in his way.
I bet I know what it is.
Yeah.
I know what it is.
Who it is, yeah.
Is it OSHA?
Oh, it's OSHA.
For this guy, it's not OSHA? That's not a problem?
Weird.
Yeah. Weird.
Hey, Molly.
Yes.
Regale us with a tale of your tumescent member.
My boner dates back to 2004.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
Back to these halcyon days. 2004.
MySpace.
Before smartphones. Before, yes, the only social media being MySpace and perhaps LiveJournal. The term social media, not yet invented.
Oh, wow.
No such thing as streaming television, yes. But I am streaming it. I am rewatching Lost.
Ugh.
No, it's good. Shut up. I have always wanted to rewatch Lost. and to see if the ending angers me the way it did when we watched it live. And I wanted to rewatch it because I loved that show to distraction. I loved it so much. I thought about it all the time. It was something that really, the mystery of it, I really enjoyed. I thought that the plots were great. I liked all the actors. So in my time at work, while I am doing busy work and otherwise occupied and not in meetings, I am just watching Lost here and there. I've already seen it, so I don't have to like, I can pick it up and put it down. If I miss something, I can go look it up on Wikipedia and be like, what happened? Oh, right. It's really great. I'm really enjoying it. I'm reminded of how inventive it was in terms of the way that it tells stories, which is something that I think people have forgotten in our current media, golden age of media right now that we are in, is people have forgotten how innovative it was to tell a story through such through flashbacks and flash forwards, and how narratively structured this was and how different it was. It is very funny, though, because it is very clearly aughts television in the sense that there are like 26 to 28, 40 to 45 minute episodes every season, which is so much. Like, there's just so much. It's like, oh, it's six seasons. I'm like, it's 12 seasons. Come on. It's so long. Also, just the a lot of little and little things that are very specific to the time. You know, no one has Fitbits. No one has smartwatches. So there's no like jokes about getting your steps in or like all these things that are kind of like idiomatic to our current language just, you know, are never happening. Everyone's doing CPR the old way. Oh. And they do CPR a lot in this show because, you know, people are drowning and dying. And so every time someone's doing CPR, I'm like, brother, you got to speed that up. Like, two slow breaths and like 10 slow chest compressions. This guy's going to die. It's just, it's very, it's also very interesting to see some of the early, you know, just some of the actors that I didn't realize that I now love that I didn't realize were in this show. Michelle Rodriguez, who I, as soon as she came on, I'm like, oh fuck, that's right. Ana Lucia, that's Michelle Rodriguez. Holy shit. And I didn't know who she was at the time. And I now, you know her and love her as an actor. And it's been very cool to see. Everyone's so young and the show is, you know, It's 3 years. It starts out in 2004. So we're 3 years post 9/11, which means there's a lot of like, I mean, I don't even think the shoe bomb guy has happened yet.
I don't think so.
Yeah, right. Like
there is a Muslim character that they're like, he bombed the plane.
He's a terrorist. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, and that's fine. I mean,
that's fine.
No. I mean, that's like, It's a pretty boring standard thing at this point to see in media.
Yeah.
It's more like, oh, none of these people had to take their shoes off before they got on that flight.
Oh yeah.
Because that guy hadn't tried to do that yet.
Yeah.
We still had freedom fries, you know, like just weird things to think about, you know, how long ago that was. I mean, this show started before you and I were dating.
Yeah.
And so it's 20 years ago. So it's been really cool. I'm really enjoying it. There's a lot of little details I'd forgotten. I remember some big strokes of things, but it's been so long and I've watched and read so many stories since then. And I'm a person who really likes rereading and I don't usually like rewatching stuff. That's not a thing that either Nick or I do. We don't really have, you see a lot of people and memes talk about, oh, my comfort show that I just put on to have on in the background. That's not something we do. We are more likely to sit in silence than to just have TV on in the background.
Read or dick around on
phones.
We
both read a lot. I reread all the time. I reread books constantly.
Yeah.
About half of the books I read in any given year are probably rereads because I really love, I have a brain that forgets stories after a certain amount of time because I just don't have the space. And so I like to go back and as I'm reading it, I'll be like, oh, right. Although this does unfortunately mean that like recently I started listening to a book and I'm like, I've read this and I didn't like it. I looked it up and I'm like, sure as shit, I fucking read this. Like, I knew this whole plot as I was reading it unfold. But yeah, so a lot of the details on Lost or for Lost are lost on me. And so it's been fun going back and refining them all. And yeah, anyway, I'm enjoying it. I'm not going to let myself be like, oh, I was so disappointed, waiting for the disappointment to come. Yeah. I'm trying to see it with an open mind, as if I was seeing it for the first time. And it's like seeing old friends. I'm really enjoying it.
You didn't watch Battlestar Galactica when it aired.
Right.
You and I watched it together, kind of binging through it.
All in one go, yep.
And so your experience with the ending of Battlestar Galactica was very different than mine.
Yes, I felt like the ending made sense and that I had seen it coming.
Yeah.
For a while.
And I was with the camp of folks who were like, kind of fuck this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking something similar might happen with Lost.
Sure.
Where that's possible. Watching it all go might make it feel more, I know that there are a lot of people out there who are like, there was a large misconception about the finale that got a lot of traction and became, you know how the media will take the one story and everyone just kind of runs with it? We see it even more now because of so many AI written articles. So like it is one person will like one critic will say something and then that becomes the thing that everyone picks up and repeats.
Oh, sure.
And so that is apparently many people claim that the whole thing with the Lost finale, which I don't want to say in case people haven't seen it. The big disappointment with it, that was actually one critic's misinterpretation that got run with so heavily that everyone just like listened to that interpretation of the media. So I love deconstructing media. I love watching and you know, looking through different lenses and thinking about things critically. I also love just fucking having fun and not caring about it. So I'm kind of doing both here and I've been enjoying myself. Mm. I'm currently on season 2, episode 4. Where they show us the first 47 days of the Tailies, the other half section.
Of the shift. Yeah.
Yep. And so, yeah, we found Desmond. We went in the hatch. Like it's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say we watched like the first 4 episodes of Lost and we were actually into it. And then we just sort of fell out of watching it and never got back to it.
Yeah. You've never seen it, Tim.
No, I've never seen though. Like the first 4 episodes.
I feel like it's a cultural touch point, to the point where if you don't watch it, you should at least go read the Wikipedia like summaries of the episodes that you, there's a lot. There.
I bet someone has a really good video essay talks all about it. And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a wild ride when it was happening.
Nick, I'm going to say something to you that I say often. Let me see that boner.
All right.
Let's see it, Nick. Show it off.
Always works, everybody. It always works.
Works every time. So I'm a really big Cosmere fan, the Brandon Sanderson world of books. The last book of the first half of the Stormlight Archive comes out later this year. So I'm slowly rereading the Stormlight Archive and novellas. But I'm really only reading those books to fill the gaps in between my Audible credits, which are I'm using to read the Joe Abercrombie The First Law series. Mm. A lot of people who, when I talk about Cosmere books, they're like, "Oh, you should read Joe Abercrombie." Like, and I've
heard he's fantasy with swears, similar to Scott Lynch or Sam Sykes.
There's the comedy is not as overt as the swears are more maybe a little bit angrier than funny more frustrated than funny.
Sure.
And his writing style is nothing like Brandon Sanderson really. But it's good. It's very good. I finished the first book, The Blade Itself, which is named after Homer from the Odysseys. The Blade Itself incites the deeds of violence.
So there's Homer's the Odyssey in this fantasy world.
No, it's just the title of the book. Just like the title of the second book is Before They Are Hanged, which is like, let us forgive those who have harmed us, but not before they are hanged or something like that. The first book really, like, one of the biggest complaints I saw about it online where people were talking about it, like, oh, I didn't know this was a prequel. I didn't know the real story doesn't start until the next book, because the first book really does introduce the world and introduce a lot of characters. Honestly, it kind of reminds me of Lord of the Rings, where they introduce a number of characters, they assemble them together, and then those characters are kind of separated, and the next book picks up with them, some of them together in one place, some of them in another place, kind of advancing this story that's happening in a bunch of different areas at once. The characters are really great. You get a bunch of different viewpoints. One of them is Logan Ninefingers, who is an aged barbarian. He is a Northman, one of the wild Northmen that live in the uncivilized areas and all the different tribes and families there. And he's been at it for a real long time. He's legendary. He's a named man. People know who he is. But also, he is like 90% scar tissue. Oh. And like, he's deadly as fuck, but he's like feeling
like a real South Cacophony.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yes. And so, and him getting separated from his other crew of Northmen, there's a dashing young noble fencing guy who's like kind of a playboy, kind of an Adolin from Stormlight.
Knows how to handle this story, guy, as it were.
Yeah, yeah. He loves dueling. He loves the ladies. He's kind of a cad.
Fashion forward.
But he's, very talented. A character that there's like a Gandalf character, Baez, who is this super old mage that magic is not very common, and in fact magic is less common now than it was way back when in the age of heroes or whatever the fuck. But the first of the Magi is still alive, and he's back because things are happening, and so he's kind of the Gandalf that's arranging this fellowship of the ring. One of my favorite characters is Sandan Glokta, who, like, on paper, like, I was talking to a work friend of mine about these books, and I was like, I really shouldn't like this character. He's fucking evil. He's an inquisitor. He puts people to the question. He uses torture, right? Like, in the name of the king or whatever. But he's a very, very compelling character whose story kind of mirrors Giselle, the sword playboy, a lot, because back in his day, he was the sword playboy. He was the hot kid that was winning all the contests and stuff like that. And in the last big war, he's captured and tortured for years. And so now he's like missing teeth. He has a hobble.
That guy. Yep.
Like, walking hurts him everywhere he goes. But now he's living this life where he used to be a man of physical prowess who is now very much not. And he's finding how he can be useful and productive.
And he was tortured, and now he's doing the torturing.
Yes.
That's fucked up.
Which is, there's a lot in the internal monologues about that too. And so I'm in the second book now. It's a trilogy, some standalone novels, and then a trilogy that finishes it off. And the last book in the second trilogy came out like 3 years ago. So the series is done.
Nice. You love to see it.
Yeah, it's,
you hear me, Rothfuss? You love to see it.
Uh-huh. That was, I won't lie, that was a part of the appeal. Like, right. I've got a lot of series out there that I'm waiting on the next book for.
Yeah.
Dresden, fucking King Killer,
Gentlemen Bastards, Game of Thrones,
Sell the Cacophony.
That's
Grave of Empires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Game of Thrones, I guess, hypothetically. I've kind of given up on that.
Same waiting.
Yeah. That'll never stop.
Yeah.
That'll never happen.
But this one's done, and I'm liking it so far. I'd say, if I had any complaints, I feel like not a lot is happening, but that doesn't bother me, and I'm never bored. But in terms of like actions taken and things happening, it's kind of a little bit slow in that way. And there's not a lot of women characters. The second book the first book introduces a character who is more prominent in the second book so far. And she's a little bit of a POV character in the first book, and she seems like she's more important to the story now, and they're kind of telegraphing some stuff with her. But honestly, like the main crew or cast of characters so far is mostly men, and I'm fine with that, but it might be a point for some other folks that are, you know, that might be a turn off for them. I don't know. I'm really digging them. I'm planning on going forward with the rest of them so far.
That sounds really good.
Yeah. So that's my boner. My boner is literary, even though I'm doing the audio.
Those are all of our boners.
We don't want that boner to give you a paper cut. But
I do have one more criticism. Not even a criticism. So because I'm doing the audiobooks, the narrator is really good. He's great. I've never heard a book that he's narrated before. He's new to me. It's Stephen Pacey is his name. But Joe Abercrombie uses the word grimaced a lot. He'll say like, you know, oh, so-and-so said something and, you know, nine fingers grimaced, except the narrator doesn't say grimaced. He says grimaced.
Oh, God.
And so people are grimacing all over the place.
Oh, my God.
People are very upset and they will grimace and
grimacing.
They will have grimaced, and in the future, I'm sure there'll be plenty of grimacing.
Who's your favorite big purple mascot of McDonald's?
The Grimace.
Is it Grimace?
Yeah.
I like Hamburglar.
Ronald.
I like the Frey guys. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Hey guys, yeah.
Yeah. So it's so minor.
The police. But,
Mayor McChise.
But when I hear it, it takes me out of the moment a little bit, because now it's like a one person running joke for myself when I'm listening to the book. So now every time he says grimaced, I'm like, hey, to myself, which takes me out of the moment just a little bit.
Yeah.
There have been some times where I'm like listening to my book out loud and Molly's in the room or in the next room or something, and he'll say it and I'd be like, he did it. He said it. Did you hear him? And she's, you know, not paying attention at all, because why would she listen to my book from the next room? She's doing her own reading. But at the same time, like she can verify that, like, I will occasionally exclaim that he has said it again.
It makes me think of in the King Killer Chronicles, the system of magic is called Alar. That's what you use to make
A-L-A-R?
Magic. A-L-A-R. It's like alarm with no M. Mm-hmm. Alar. But the whole first book, the narrator says Ailer.
Oh.
He's like, I focused my, and so I read them first with my eyes, and then I listened to them, because I was like, oh, that's always fun. I'll listen to this. I'll reread this by listening. And he's like, I focused my ailer. And I'm like, no, what? No, fuck off.
Absolutely not.
The first time I heard it, I was like, what?
You did not focus that.
Like, get fucked. Like, that's not right. And he fixes it in the second book. But I don't understand how you don't give your audiobook narrator a list of terms and how to say them, right? Like,
yeah, but why would you give them a list of, why would you, grimace be one of the words that you gave them?
Well, for grimaced, I'm not sure. I think that must just be some weird British thing.
He's British, so maybe that's it.
Aluminium.
It's in the...
Lee Harris.
In the Expanse novels, the first three books or so.
Oh, yeah.
He says...
Jimbles.
Jimbles instead of gimbles.
The chair moved around on its jimbles.
Yeah, he hopped into his crash couch and the jimbles
responded,
adjusted, and then he fixes it after a couple of books, which I really appreciated. I'm probably the only person that's like, yeah, he got it. So anyway, those are our boners. We showed you our boners. Please respond.
Leave us on red.
We'd love to know what nerdy thing has got you excited right now. There's a lot more stuff that we're into and watching or reading or doing that we're not talking about that we might save for another episode. So keep an ear out. Otherwise, you know, we used to do this thing on this show called Five Questions. They're up on our website, geekswithoutgod.com. If you want to answer them and send us your answers, we'll read them on an episode, and we'll send you a sticker as a thank you if you include your address. if you are one of our patron supporters, thank you very much. You would be bumped to the top of the queue to have your questions read, were there such a thing. There is not. However, if you want to send us your five questions to, that we can ponder over and answer, we'd be happy to do that as well. If you have a neat idea that you want us to read on an episode, we're probably open to that. Honestly, we're very open to feedback and content suggestions. If you want to participate with Geeks Without God in some way, we are but an email away. Nick, Molly,
but.
Or at geekswithoutgod.com, or if you want to get all three of us, all at geekswithoutgod.com.
It's true.
And, you know, maybe consider throwing us a couple bucks on Patreon so you can listen to these episodes indeterminate time early.
Indeterminate.
Sometimes weeks, though.
Sometimes.
Otherwise, we'll be back next week with more geeky, godless fun.
Bye!
Bye! Our audiobook would be titled Gax Without Geed.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
All right, we'll look at some things and suggest more things.